This is before she became a Christian. She was living in an animist life. She was one of four in a polygamous relationship, although maybe not technically married. But she gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. And the father took the boy to the witch doctor and sacrificed him. I have a hard time forgiving those who hurt me. My goodness. And she was set free. This woman just laid it down. She forgave that man for sacrificing her boy. And I'm going, God's a good God.
You know, some of this stuff feels like it's a National Geographic, you know, kind of movie, but it's all real, you know, and there's still that darkness there. And for me, it was just such a privilege to be in the midst of that. And, you know I carry Jesus. I carry Father's love in my heart. And so whenever we come, we bring light. And there was just that sense of the light going in the midst of the darkness. But the Ugandan people, despite everything, you know, so many of them are so poor, so many of them are, you know, everything. They have such joy. And one of the really fun things was my birthday happened during this time. And so they threw me a birthday party. Now, you got to understand, they don't do this. You know, this is not their practice. But they threw me a birthday party, and they had a cake, you know, brought in from Kampala 2 hours away. I saw.
I tipped off Sarah the week before.
Yeah. So it was funny because I see this guy coming in, and it was like a box. And I was like, that's a cake box, you know. And he's coming, riding in on a motorcycle, you know. You know, so the guy's riding, and then he's behind him, and there's this box of cake in between the two of them. So it was really funny. But they had, what a joy it was to be able to celebrate with them. I think they had more fun, or as much fun at least as I did. And they were so joyful. They did cultural dances for us for a half an hour, just going from different one to another, and we got to dance with them. And then probably one of the sweetest things, and I'll never forget it, they brought a basket up, and they said, now we want to bring you gifts. And they brought forward little money. And it was such a sacrifice. It was, you know, I counted it all up at the end, and it was like $16. Now, that may not mean much to you, but that's like hundreds. Am I right, Carissa? That's like hundreds of dollars that they gave me that day. And so to me, it was just like, I even heard Father say, I'm giving you a birthday party today, you know? And it was just, and what it did, though, it broke something in them. And the whole conference was called Break the Yoke. And they said, you know what? We need to start celebrating our children's birthdays. We need to start acknowledging our other birthday. We want to break the yoke of, you know, not, what? Yeah. Of unforgiveness, you know, and we just went through so many topics, you know, so all in all, it was a great trip. It was the most Ugandan trip we had, you know. I mean, things like I only had use of a squatty potty, you know, a good bit of the time. And if you're not used to using one of those, it's an adventure, a cultural adventure. Chris and I laugh about this from there. So it's a cultural adventure, you know. And we had car trouble when we were out at Amadot. We were the cultural, but you know, I mean, we were in the Jeep. The seatbelt was broken. It had rained, and the roads were so muddy. So when we're driving, it's like shh.
Which should have taken a half hour. It took close to 3 hours.
Yeah, and we almost hit trees. I mean, I'm not talking, you know, like feet away. I'm talking inches away. And we almost we came within inches of going in a 4-foot ditch, you know. And so there was definitely a sense, you know, when we got back to where we stayed in that little village you saw, it was like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
In this road, we might have spent the night in the bush, literally in the woods. There's no such thing as a tow truck. So we could have spent the night, just a bunch of us jammed in the car. This place is actually located next to a game park. The government has been actually taking the Pocos people's land and making it a game park. And I thought, am I in the game park? I said, are there fences around the game park? No.
So all in all, you know, and we had car trouble everywhere we went. So it was like totally African and great and fun and an adventure, you know. And that's what we just kept. Every time something went wrong, it was like, okay, more adventure, you know. But So what a privilege it is when God brings us to people to bring light. And that's just the sense I had. What an honor that we had. And we want to thank everybody for praying for us. Now, we have a couple special gifts. Oh, she's upstairs. Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to give it. But
well, we do now.
This is something that, you know, they wear there. So we brought one back for Scott. Oh, there you go. Okay. Scott. So you, being the chieftain, she likes green. So save the green for her.
Okay.
Okay. So stand up, Scott, here.
Yeah.
He's our chieftain.
He's a Maasai warrior now.
Yeah.
Well, I had a couple things in my heart today. I thought we would go off the page a little bit and look at something John said. To just a quick encouraging word this morning. You know, we're familiar with what John said in John 1 about Jesus. Let's just go there for a moment. John 1. I was in there this morning and I got distracted. It was a holy distraction. I thought, this is just good. It's just encouraging. Yeah. John 1, I'm reading this book called Four Witnesses, and it talks about the differences of what each gospel writer was trying to share. And I was just in there this morning doing a little reading and just got so encouraged as I was reflecting in John. So John 1, he's retelling creation in a sense. It's a new beginning that he's sharing with us when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. Just say, not one thing. Not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, this morning, when Alan was sharing from Psalm 119, I didn't look at anyone's faces too closely, but anytime you're reading, especially Psalm 119, for us, David just seems entirely too enthusiastic about the law, doesn't he? I mean, just truly, like there's a confusion that comes over us. And I just thought it would be clarifying today to just, and looking at John, we can look at Psalm 119, and there is a correlation. And what Alan read today, you know, I'll just read a couple of verses. Oh, how I love your law, the psalmist said, David wrote, it's my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. Is that the one you read? Yeah. For it's always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditations. I mean, he's talking about the law as his life, isn't he? He is. He says, your words are sweet to my taste, sweeter than honey. And John says, Jesus' life. Is there a conflict? I want to say to us today, what John is insisting is that the law's role had been transferred to Jesus and was radically enhanced in the move. When we're looking at Psalm 119, it really does us good to hear the love that David had and to embrace it, to not fight it. That while it's hard for us, living in the new covenant, knowing Jesus, it's hard for us to understand what it means for David to have the law. And I think this is really important. What was the law? And it was God's revealed truth. God's revealed truth. I mean, we just heard about a tribe in darkness. Darkness, 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 darkness. And there's a revelation that comes to God's people. And through it, what's he doing? He is not, while we think in the new covenant, giving them a behavior code or giving them something to mess with them. He's giving them a way to observe his ways and to know his ways. And not just for this life, I would say, do we know his ways, but for the life to come. I'm going to jump around a little bit. In Proverbs 4:20, go there. I'm just going into the Bible today. Man, just reading the Bible. Proverbs 4:20-22, he says, "My child, be attentive to my words." Now, while I don't think this is originally written from Father God to us as sons and daughters, I think we can actually hear it that way right now. This is written from a father to a son, and the issues are the same. The issues are the same. Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. It's wisdom for me to listen to my father. We joke around and still tell each other things that my grandfather would tell my dad. Some of them are inappropriate, but they were still wise. Some family inside jokes. And don't even start. I recently was looking through a family genealogy book that we graciously have. And I never met my great-grandfather on the Crowder side. I believe he was born, in the 1860s, late 1860s. So, Civil War. And George Thomas Crowder, who you never met, correct? You never met George Thomas. His saying that everyone recorded as him as passing on, became famous for it, was extra effort is what counts. Now, I'd never heard him say that, but I thought, I'm going to take a hold of that in my own family. That extra effort is something that pays off, you know? So even the other day recently, Asher and I we came home late at night and the trash can and the recycling bin were out. And I said, come on, let's go get them. Let's go get them. Just huffing and puffing a little bit. I said, I know, I don't want to get it right now either, but extra effort is what counts. You know, I'm like, I'm digging up something that wasn't even handed to me because I want to pass on something that points to our family telling, passing on wisdom. And I'm just saying, telling that little story because in the book of Proverbs, there's this truth that's being expounded on that words give life, and as we're sharing life with each other, it's not just for us. And more is happening when we receive truth, and I'm talking about the truth of God right now. There's more that happens than when we receive truth than us just remembering pithy sayings. Something about the truth of how and where to find life is being revealed. And that's what God was doing with the law, is he's revealing the truth of his ways. And it's frustrating to us because we know of Jesus, because we've already been given the better thing. But I want us to just see that in the Old Covenant, when we're reading Scripture and we're hearing about the ways of God and we're hearing about even this saying, be attentive to my words. I think that we can read into this, and this is encouraging. We can read into this and say, be attentive to my son, Jesus. Be attentive to what I've revealed to you that's true. While we have the fulfilled thing, the better thing, the lesser thing is still true. I mean, I don't even want to say lesser, because it almost like disinherits myself from the full revelation of God. Like, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. And I can hear John saying, in the beginning was the Word. Right? The Word. He's the Word that frames all the words. But as we're looking at what our Father's given us, let us not put his words out of our sight. Let's keep them within our heart, for they are life to us. In one sense, what I'm talking about is just wisdom. Just the wisdom of walking in God's ways. I think that in our culture, we risk having a touchy-feely experience with God with no wisdom. You know, like, if there's one thing in this pendulum swing of coming out of, like, legalism and coming out of works, right, which is the fruit of legalism, we risk coming over so far into just this emotional experience that we almost divorce God's words from the revealed truth of Jesus. So maybe we don't value Proverbs anymore. Maybe we don't. We read Psalm 119 and we're like, can we get it onto the new covenant? I don't know if anybody else has that pang in them when you hear David say, I love your law. What he's saying is, I love that you've revealed to me truth. I love, I'm meditating constantly all day long on your revelations to me. I have more understanding than my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. Like, what you've told me, God, is what I think about. There's something for us to catch there. In Psalm 119, he goes on to talk about how your word is a lamp to my feet. I mean, could we not say Jesus is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? He shows me how to walk. He shows me where I'm headed. He shows us where we're headed. I'm not headed just into a tough situation. I'm headed into resurrection. Come on. I'm feeling some Shayness, as we heard yesterday. This lady is with a Shay. She'd say, did you hear that? Did you hear that? David said, I'm severely afflicted. Give me life. What's he saying? He's saying, keep revealing truth to me. Keep revealing the truth. Keep showing me your ways. I'm afflicted. Keep showing me your ways. That's what we just heard in the testimony of this village. They are afflicted. They're under the weight of man, shame and guilt and murder and, show us your ways, God. Your ways are salvation to us. David said, I hold my life in my hand continually, but I don't forget your law. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I mean, I hear that Jesus in there, that my heritage forever is this revealed truth of sonship, right? It's right there on the vine for us right now to sink our teeth into. The law was known by the Jews to give them an understanding of how to live. It was the words of God. It was the words of Abba. And it wasn't just knowledge for life. It was, I need to say this again, because you might miss this. It wasn't just knowledge, some information for how to live. It was knowledge. God's law was knowledge. Jesus is the one that holds all things together. It's I don't know that we think that way naturally. We think like, give me a revelation, God. Give me that extra thing I need right now. No, just show me the way to live. Just show me life. Show me yourself. I think it would help us think of God's revelation in this way, that when something's revealed to us, when we're given knowledge of what's true, this is really what I'm hitting at. It's really a loving action. When we catch a revelation, it's not like, it's not just like, so this helps you with all your doubts, or this gives you a sure foundation. It does those things, but it's love. It's the actions of a loving father to actually show the child where to walk. It's the action of a loving father to say, you can stand here, son, and nothing can mess with you here. I mean, for this tribe, what are they going to do when a flood comes? Are they going to immediately go back to their old habits and identity? Or are they going to say, no, that doesn't get to define us. We are defined by Father now. And we're going to turn this into something good. I mean, is that not what happens with us? We have a financial breakthrough. We have a testimony. We have a healing. We're on the top of the mountain. And then guess what? There's another part of life that comes. And we're going, where are you? And he's saying, my ways. Stay in my ways. Stay in the truth of my love. Let me say that again. When we're given knowledge, of what is true, it's a loving action from Father. So think of it this way. It was great love for humanity that we were created in the image of God. That's great love. But it's greater love that we would know that we're children of God. It's greater love that we know that we're image bearers. It's not a fact hanging out there to agree upon. It's loving revelation that's being shared with us for us to actually know who we are now. Actually, we were talking in the van about identity and sexuality and all that. When I know I'm an image bearer, it changes where I get my opinions from. I look to Father. I look to how the Trinity functions. I look to the Lord. Is he fruitful in all seasons? Yes, he is. Okay, that's what you're calling me to be then. And that's not just like a calling, like some cold truth. It's love now that I see that. Another way I wrote it was, I'll just read the two in a row. I mixed them. It was great love for humanity that we were created in the image of God, but it's greater love that we should know that we are created in the image of God. The Bible tells us that for in his own image, God made humankind. So imagine that. There's a time when you didn't know that you were made in his image. And there might be a moment where you forget it. So to find yourself in the revealed truth and in the revealed knowledge is receiving what David was saying, like, I love your law. I love that you shine on my life and you show me where to stand. It's a firm place. The law was this revelation of God that was transferred to Jesus, and now Jesus is God's grace and truth revealed, John says. In the beginning, in John 1, this was kicking off these thoughts. He says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth, from his fullness. Say that with me. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I was thinking about it this way. I mean, you know, it's not as fun of an example as Jason Clark would give because he's so funny. It's just cold truth. I was just like, wow, this is amazing. The Hebrew word for knowing has something to do with intimacy. It actually means to lay with. You know, like Adam knew Eve. So when we're thinking about that, thinking about this Hebrew word for knowing also carries the meaning of intimacy. Suddenly, when we're thinking about God doesn't just give us facts, but he calls us into knowing them. And he doesn't just give us commandments and oblique strategies. Brian Eno quote there. Oblique strategies. He gives us a person. He gives us his own son. And he gives us his mind and his life as our own very life. You could burn a house down with this. I'm telling you, as we read through scriptures, as you're going through scriptures, every time you find something, even just the little tidbits, the genealogies suddenly get more passionate. You're like, what? He's showing me not just information, he's inviting me into knowing him intimately, knowing his ways intimately. He's inviting me actually not just to read about him, he's actually asking me to participate in him with Jesus. This knowledge, it births something inside of us, the revelation of Jesus. It gives us life. John 1, he goes on to say in verse 17, I didn't read the law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. Even though they had this revelation, they hadn't seen God yet. It's God, the only Son, who's close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. How do we know God? Perfectly through Jesus. And we have the scriptures. And the scriptures also reveal him. He's telling us, John is telling us, in that passage right there, he's telling us that this messes with some of the things we've heard in recent years, but it's true. He tells us that great love came through the law. Great love came through the law. Maybe I'm like taking it upon myself to like bash this horrible recent teaching that the law is like a mistake from God. It revealed love, but that role was transferred to Jesus. There's a transference. And how many promises does Jesus deliver? All of them. All of them. So as we heard in Jeremiah, and that scripture that was read today, I'll go there. Jeremiah, go there with me. Jeremiah 31, 27 through 34. I mean, this is what the good news is about. The good news, you know how you can tell if something's good news or not? I mean, because there's great information out there, isn't there? I mean, we heard some things yesterday that is amazing to hear, but it's not necessarily gospel. What makes something gospel good news? It's God's action. When you hear something that has to do with God's action towards you, that's what makes it gospel. The problem is the law, this revealing of God's truth, became their action towards God. It's what we do with knowledge. We go, well, now I've got to do that so you'll love me. No, he loves us. That's why he gave it to us in the first place. Jeremiah is talking to a people who are tripped up with their own mistakes, tripped up with their own works understanding of God's love. Because guess what? You can make works out of Jesus too, folks. And he says, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will show the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I've watched over them to pluck up and break down, I mean, this is a father's heart, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I'll watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and their children's teeth are set on edge. He's going to change their understanding. but all shall die for their sins. Oh, it's grievous. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. It's like there's this revealing of who God is, yet we don't live in the truth of that. So there's this consequence that happens. It's real. But then he says this, and this is where it turns into gospel. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my law within them. I will reveal who I am in them. They will know my love is there before their behaviors. Are you hearing me? And I shall write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I just was reflecting on this morning. I was just getting so caught up and just realizing that he's never okay with us just knowing something remotely. He's going to enter into it with us to show us who he is. Jesus didn't just stand back and say, well, I really know the law. I'm the Encyclopedia Britannica. You know, I'm Google. I'm the Google of God's will. What do you want to know? No, he came and he revealed, he came and dwelt with us. That sureness of his love and affection was while the truth is the law is there for us to walk in his ways. He said, no, I'm going to start putting this desire in your own hearts. I'm going to be turning your hearts towards me. As he said in the prophets to Elijah and talking about the father's hearts being and the sons being changed to each other. I don't know, guys. I think there's something really radical when we see that the law's role was transferred to Jesus. I think it redeems some of our understanding that when we wrestle with and we're like, well, I don't understand. This doesn't seem as good. Well, there's ways to misunderstand this. And then Jesus comes in and just clarifies. He just comes in. And it's not a clarification just of knowledge. I think this is probably my biggest emphasis today. Grabbing onto this idea that when God reveals anything to us, it's an act of love. It's huge. You prophets out there are so loved, right? Like you, I got a word. Oh my! He's wanting to love through you. He's wanting to bring revelation. Teachers, oh my gosh! He's wanting to love through you. Evangelists, what's the word of an evangelist? I mean, think. Paul talks about how silly, how foolish the gospel is. That you stand in the middle of this darkness, right? And you talk on a microphone. If that's all it was, we're so stupid. But it's not that. It's this not just a revelation. It's loving acts of God come through words and birth something more than words, birth new creations. I just feel like I'm full of gratitude this morning. As I'm aware, maybe you got to sit in my office chair and fill those books around you, and you're like, oh my gosh, you love me so much. Maybe if I preach longer today, you'll go, man, he really loves me. Scott's talking for 2 hours. Oh. He loves us so much. He loves us. It excites me to study more scripture. It excites me to read more about him. It excites me to want to talk about him with my kids around the table and with each other and say, what's he doing in your life? Because when I hear what he's doing in your life, oh, I feel so loved. Oh, we're so loved. Oh, my gosh. It's so good. Man, can we just give him thanks? Father, thank you for loving us so much. That your words are not just words. It's love. It's great love. Because with your words isn't just the words of men that maybe ring hollow or maybe are just so bent on being factual, they lose intimacy or they lose connection. All your factual hard truths are the most extreme statements and actions of grace. You're manifesting love with all the facts. And the facts are this. You are in love with us. You're eternally committed to us. You've given us like a sure foundation. You've really, like hearing this testimony today, oh my goodness, do we know where to stand compared to where we were before, or where people are today, God. We know who to trust. We know where to walk. We know what to do with our money. We know what to do with our love. It's not for myself. It's for others. We know what to do with this building. It's not for us. It's for the world. We know what to do with music. It's fun to dance. But why are we dancing? Because God made me to dance. We just love your love. we're just consumed with you today. You who are the Word. You are the Word who holds all things together. Father, just speak over us all today. Give us new insights into Scripture and the truths that we've held on, that they wouldn't just be cold facts to us, or just these like militant things that we've got to just, if I do this, I'll be approved. No, He loves you. That's why He gave you the Word in the first place. He wants you to know where to stand. He wants you to know how to trust. Father, we just say thank you today. Thank you for your revealed love. All your words are revealed love. Even your hard words are revealed love. So we just invite you to speak this week, God. Just speak over us. And may we be mouthpieces for you, that others who don't know your love would know and be sure that they are loved. In your mighty name, we pray. Amen.